Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse DePlanis. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. Last week, we preached part one of I Am the Christian the Devil Warned You About. I'm going back in time, man. I mean, I preached this many, many years ago. I like going back in time. It's a blessing of the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. How bold are you for Christ? Are you wanting, I don't know what I'm going to do for Jesus? Or are you willing to look the devil in the eye and spit? Praise God. I want to tell you something. God's word is real and the Holy Ghost is powerful. Get ready to revive your zeal for the Lord. So let's go into part two of I Am the Christian the Devil Warned You About. Remember, I'm taking you back in time. This one I was a little younger. So watch this and be blessed. So notice this. What makes you the Christian the devil warned you about? That source of godly zeal called the Holy Ghost. Now, number two, the object of godly zeal. See, if you got zeal, you got to have an object of it. What is that? What is the object of godly zeal? Good works. Like I said, you must hate sin with a passion, not just hate what sin does to you. See, when you have this zeal in your life, it travails in birth for the salvation of souls. Paul before King Agrippa. Man, I'm telling you, putting the word of God on that boy, zeal pushed Paul to do what he did. Paul the apostle, man, you talk about a chief of sinners, he was a murderer. He'd kill you in a second. Over what? Religion.
Amen.
Boy, religion will destroy you. More people have died in the name of religion than anything else in the world. You know that?
Amen.
Religion's man-made. I have people say, you in this religion called Christianity? I said, no. I'm in Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The anointed and his anointing. You make all that religious junk. Jesus was a blessing going somewhere to bless. You know, by the time Jesus came upon the earth, the Jews added over 400 laws to the book of Moses. That's what religion will do to you. It always puts a law that you can't keep and that you can never account and never get up the way you're supposed to be. But listen to this object of good, of godly zeal, which is good works. So zeal travails in birth for the salvation of souls. Zeal also creates opportunities for usefulness. Write that down. Zeal creates opportunities for usefulness. Sometimes God will say, I want you to do this. One time I walked into this restaurant. I didn't want to do it. I'm just standing there waiting for a table. And I'm just standing there waiting for a table. And I'm moving the gifts of the Spirit. Bless God. And I'm just sitting there. And I look and I see this person sitting there, this lady. I don't know who she is. She don't know me. All of a sudden, I can just read her life. The Lord said, now you go down there and tell her this. I said, Lord, I don't know that woman. I don't want to go down. I'm trying to come over here to get something to eat and go back to the hotel. He said, just go tell her that I heard a prayer. So I just walked. I said, excuse me. And she said, yes, can I help you? I said, no, but I can help you. She said, what? I said, you are separated from your husband. She went, huh? I said, it happened 2 days ago about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's caused you much torment and pain. And he told you he's going to take the kids. Oh, she busted out crying. I mean, bawling and squalling. Heavy sob. See, when a woman cry, woman cry. Now, men don't cry like a woman. Men are embarrassed to cry. They go, whew, boy, I tell you. Boy, this cold's killing me, man. I tell you what. See, because they're embarrassed to cry. They've been told all their life not to cry. My grandfather told me, you don't cry. I said, but Grandpa, my brother nailed my hand to a stump like Jesus Christ. And I can't cry? No, don't cry. Boy, you a man. Get some kerosene. Put it on there, boy. You can tell how far back that is. I mean, my brother nailed me to a stump like Jesus Christ. You think I'm kidding you? This is the hand. Look at that scar right there, brother. Right through it. Look where it came out on this side. See it right there? You know how kids are. I'll hold that story about the lady. I'll come back there. He was nailing some nails in the stump. I was about 6 years old. I said, I want to nail some nails, Wayne. He said, ah, get out of here, Jesse. I said, I want to nail. This is my oldest brother. I want to nail some nails. So I put my hand. I said, you ain't going to nail no nails. He said, if you don't move your hand, I'll nail your hand to the stump like Jesus Christ. I said, you wouldn't do it. So I stuck my hand out there. He put the nail. Yeah, what? I said, now you want? Yeah, what? Wham! He did. He did. Nail me to the stump. Mama! My daddy come over there with a crowbar. He said, now, boy, this is going smarts a little. Gee, I mean, the flesh flew, boy. My grandpa says, put some coal oil on the thing. Wrap it up with a rag. It'll be all right. He's dead today. Zeal creates opportunities for usefulness. I mean, the Lord just read that woman's mail. The Spirit of God just touched her. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, if you'll go home right now, when you get to your door, your phone will start ringing. It'll be your husband. He has repented. The Spirit of God talked to him in a car.
And he's coming home saying he's sorry. I said, now that's it. I'm going to eat. See you later. Bye. Boy, she hooked up out of that restaurant, just took off. Ran straight to the house. Sure enough, it happened. Called. She ran back to the restaurant and told me, she said, can you read minds? I said, I can't even read my own mind, much less yours, ma'am. No. I said, it's the Spirit of God. Then God began to quicken. I said, you was an assembly of God. The girl got away from God because your daddy messed up, made some trouble. Went out, ran off with the piano player, and you've accused God over all that all your life. Boy, she busts out crying again. And went, man, when she's sobbing, and people looking at me like, what you done, her, you dog? Hey, it ain't my fault. But you see, zeal creates opportunities for usefulness. Zeal causes a thirst for knowledge and seeks for fellowship. You see, I just don't want to know about God. I want to know God. Go over here and preach a while, praise God. I just don't want to know about God. See, the church taught me about God. But I want to know God. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty baby. Hallelujah. What are you saying? Now, I know I'm getting out of the lights, boys, but that's all right. What I'm saying is this. I want to know God instead of just know about Him. In other words, I want to talk to Him instead of just pray to Him. How many of y'all want to do the same thing? You know how you do that? You do that with fellowship. Now, how do you get to know somebody? Fellowship. You go out to dinner. You know, you do all these kind of different things. You know, a lot of people say, I know Brother Jesse. No, you don't know Brother Jesse. You know about Brother Jesse. Kathy knows Brother Jesse. Mine and LaVeta Burke, they know me. They spend time with me. I've been to Brother Broswell's house, and he knows me. We haven't got as much fellowship as we want to because I'm so busy, but I enjoy fellowship. So I decided to fellowship with God. Now, I want to tell you something. Most of the church world told me I couldn't do that.
Who do you think you are?
That's nothing to do with what I think I am. It's who he thinks I am.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
I found that most people are just jealous. When you can go to the throne yourself. See? Because, see, this zeal. And I said, God, why do I have such a thirst for you? He said, because you got zeal. See, you got zeal. Zeal. The object of God's zeal is good works. The source of God's zeal is the Holy Ghost. That's what Phinehas had. He said, I am not going to let this sin get into the very nostrils of God. I'll stop this today. Now, that may have been strong. I wouldn't go kill somebody, you know. But in those days, that's how things got done. In fact, you go over there right now, that's how things get done. You steal something, they cut your hand off. Women can't drive. Women are sexual slaves over there, man. Shut up, woman. Just cook and raise kids. They get mad if they catch a woman behind a car. But Jesus came and liberated women.
Hallelujah.
I'm so excited about what God's doing in the women ministry. Amen. Elevating women. Bless God, it's about time. Some of these old jealous men trying to hold them down for centuries.
Amen.
My God, I appreciate Joyce Myers and all these people that God has called up to preach this gospel. Glory to God. Marilyn Hickey, all of them. It's good. Ann Jimenez and Kathy Duplantis. Glory to God. Gloria Copeland. I had to put her in there. Praise God. And all, yeah, it's a blessing to me. Some men say, I tell you what, I don't want no woman usurping authority over you. She ain't usurping authority over you. She's controlling you. Women control the world, man. Come on. Women are controlling the world. 80% of all goods are bought by women. That's why when you walk into a mall and you walk into a store, you'll walk into women's cosmetics or women's shoes or women's dresses. If you want to know where the men's department is, it's in the back on the left-hand side by the bathrooms.
Amen.
You know why? Because men don't have no money. They ain't got no money. They control the world. They're powerful species. God called them woman, a woman. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. They control the world. It does. It's, if mama ain't pleased, ain't nobody pleased. Even the dog knows that. It's her house. It's her coffee table. It's your mortgage note. I don't know why women can move furniture. Women are the most powerful species. They can move a piano upstairs, a refrigerator upstairs, but they can't take out the garbage. I don't understand that. The garbage don't weigh as much as that refrigerator, but they don't like to mess with anything that stinks. It stinks. Women are real funny about that. Women don't dress for men. Women dress for women. They make us believe they dress for us, but it's a lie from the pits of hell. Men don't even notice that much stuff. Women dress for women. Women look at each other and go, boy, she got a pretty dress, but I wouldn't wear them funky shoes she got on. Hey, women are bad about that kind of stuff. Men, they don't care. They buy a pair of shoes. Okay, yeah, that's good. Sound good to me. All right. Out the door. You know what I mean? But women, boy, you know, did you see her dress? We were preaching in Hawaii February of this year, and Kathy wanted to go to this dress shop, certain dress shop, to get this dress, whatever. So I said, okay. Now, when you walk into a dress shop and they tell you to sit down and offer you something to drink, you're about ready to get hit pretty hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this ain't Kmart. You know what I'm saying? This ain't Walmart. Walmart says, hello, shake your hand. What you buying? But this place says, sit down, son. The air costs money in here. So Kathy had to go to the bathroom. And that's another thing I don't understand. Women go to the bathroom so much, I ain't never seen. They go to the bathroom when they don't need to go to the bathroom. I've seen them go to the bathroom. I said, well, where are we going? Well, I better go to the bathroom. I said, do you have to go? Well, no. But then how can you? That don't make sense to me. I mean, you got to go. There should be an urge and a feeling to want to go to the bathroom. Huh? But not a woman. A woman says, oh, well, we're driving for a couple hours. I better go now. Well, you just went. Yeah, but I better go again. Well, do you have to? No. Well, then how can you? I don't understand that. I don't know. I've argued about that with that woman over there. I said, that don't make sense to me. But that's just, they taught like that when they're little girls. It's time for you to go to the bathroom. Kid don't have to go, but they just go. So Kathy says, I got to go to the bathroom. So the lady says, okay, you got to go to the back. Evidently, it must have been somebody in there because Kathy was waiting. Here comes this woman. She's a little fat. I don't care if she's fat. Don't make me no difference. I could care less. She comes in with her husband. She sits down. Oh, he sits down by me, looks at me, says, how you doing? I said, fine, how you doing? I don't know him. He don't know me. I'm waiting for Kathy to come back. This woman puts on one of these knit dresses. What do you call them things? St. John knit, you know. And I mean, and don't ask me something if you don't want the truth. So I'm just sitting there. She says, honey, what do you think? That's a little tight. And I mean, you can see all kinds of, you know, it's a little tight. So I'm just sitting there, minding my own business, waiting for my wife to come back from the bathroom. And I'm thinking, I bet she ain't got to go, but she's just going just to aggravate me. I bet that's what it is. Anyway, I'm sitting there waiting to get, and it's a little tight. He says, honey, she said, do you like it? He says, I like it. Well, do you think it's tight? So the lady looks at me, she says, hi. I said, hello. She said, do you like this dress? And I said, yes, ma'am. I think it's a very pretty dress. She said, do you think it's too tight? I said, well, there's a bump over here that we can, I don't know what this bump is, but she had all kind of, looked like Swiss cheese. I said, whoa. So I ain't gonna sell me, you know. She said, can you see my cellulite? I said, oh, that's not cellulite, that's hail damage. That's what that is. What do you want me to say? Just stay out them hailstorms. You know what I mean? You'll be all right. Don't ask me, man, if you don't want the truth. I said, there's a bump. And then her husband said, well, tell you the truth, honey, got three bumps on this side, too. So she said, I'm not gonna wear that dress. And the lady says something. She says, I can fix that. You can. She said, I'll block it. Block it? I don't know what blocking is. The lady went back, took the dress off, and went and blocked that dress. Now, what they do with that, I don't know. But they did it. She comes back, put the dress on, couldn't see a bump. All the bumps were gone. Cost the guy $800 to get rid of them bumps. Well, they shouldn't ask me. She kept saying, I have a lot of bumps. He says, good, just a few, honey. I don't care. It doesn't make me no difference. See, this zeal gives you an opportunity for using this, causes you to thirst for knowledge and seek some fellowship. So when I get a chance, I say, hello, Jesus. He say, hi, Jesse. How you doing? Isn't that a blessing? I don't wait till Sunday to say, hello, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I enjoy the word of God. It's just such a blessing. I'm the Christian the devil warned you about. Sometimes I just aggravate the devil. How do you do that? Sometimes I make him think I'm going to just charge someone. He goes, oh, no, oh, no, no. I just keep him full of stress. I like the boy to be stressed out. I don't like the devil. Now, the devil's not Sister So-and-so. She may act like a devil, but she's not the devil. Or Brother So-and-so. Amen. Those are people. Just get rid of the devil and keep the people. Now, when you understand what true zeal is mixed with knowledge. See, zeal without knowledge causes trouble. But true zeal is mixed with knowledge. To enlighten others, watch this, you must have light yourself. You can't enlighten someone if you're not lighting yourself. You see me, I love everybody. I don't see black, I don't see white, I don't see fat, I don't see skinny, I don't see ugly, I don't see pretty, I see a person. End the statement. You know what I'm saying? Makes me no difference what color, race you are, what nationality or creed. Hey, we're from America. We don't know what we are. If you think you're a blue blood, you are living in a dream world. The United States of America is made up of immigrants. Amen. And by the time we got off that ship, we'd have married an alligator if the thing would have stand there long enough. Come on, man. I'm German. You ain't German. You might have a piece of German in you. Ain't no telling what we are. You see what I'm saying? People are people. So to enlighten others, you must have light yourself. How you going to go pray for healing for someone when you're sick as a dog yourself? I'll tell you how. By not going by what you see. Now, I see people think you're denying. No, you're not denying. You deny it's right to stay there. I've had many opportunities to be sick. I just don't take any. I've had people say, you know, the Hong Kong flu is coming around. Well, now they got names for it. Hong Kong swine and every kind of... I'd rather have the Hong Kong than the pig flu. What does the pig flu do? Make you snort? All the time? I don't know. But you know, I said, no, I'm not going to receive that. Now people go, no. Oh, you one of those word of faith people. What are you, word of doubt? How do you ever separate people from word of faith? What are you? This, everybody's word of faith. How do you know that? Because by Jesus Christ, though you saved, it took faith to believe that. Ain't nobody can prove to me here that you're going to heaven when you die. You don't have a contract signed by God saying you're going. You accepted Jesus by faith. The Methodist, the Baptist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, all that kind of stuff. We all Word of Faith. I don't know why they want to separate somebody and say, you're a Word of Faith. Well, what are you, Word of Doubt? Word of Unbelief? No. You understand what I'm saying? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I realized that true zeal is mixed with knowledge. So for me to enlighten someone, I must have light myself. Now let me show you how powerful light is. Everybody look up. We got television lights here. And we have some lights here at this Mobile Civic Center here at Mobile, Alabama. But if you look out that door back there, look back that door back there. See all that darkness out there? That darkness is all over the top of the roof of this building. It's trying to get in. It's trying to get in here. Yet these little small lights, all these lights here, is keeping that massive, it's dark from here to New Orleans, here to Atlanta, here to New York, here to Miami, here to Tennessee, here to Minneapolis. Glory, it's dark. Bless God, it's dark. It's trying to get in here, but the light's keeping it out. This amount of light is keeping all that darkness out on the top of this roof. Well, Brother Jesse, how do I keep darkness out of my life? Keep the light on. Just keep the light on. To enlighten others, you must have light yourself. Now, how do you get light? By receiving it from the Word of God. Now, you see, people have a bad preachers, especially. Moses was so mad at Israel. Israel broke one commandment, and Moses broke 10. He up there 40 days in that mountain getting them tablets. Bless God, I mean, that's a piece of artwork. They broke one commandment. Have no other gods before me. They fixed the golden calf. Moses got so mad because they broke one. Wham! He broke 10. So what are you saying? If somebody makes a mistake, don't break 10 commandments on top of their head. And God said, Moses, I just made the tablets. Fool, get back up there. I got to give you another set. Just because somebody makes a mistake, you don't have to break 10 of them on top of their heads. You understand what I'm saying? To enlighten others, you must have light yourself. Now, zeal in its true nature is forgetful of itself. It doesn't carry what I call pride with it. Self-denial is an element of true greatness. I've had people say, but I had a man tell me this the other night. You healed me. I said, no, I didn't. If I could, I'd have done it earlier. I can't heal a soul. But Christ in me can heal anybody. Amen. See what I'm saying? I can't save a soul, but Christ in me, bless God, can save the whole bunch. Brother Copeland told me that they said, you can get people saved giving announcements. It's amazing. That ain't me. It's that gift of God. I just go with the flow of it. See? It's called self-denial. See, brave works wins crowns. Brave works for God wins crowns. Now, you know, I decided to be the Christian the devil warned you about.
Do you want to be the Christian the devil warned you about? Of course you do. Everybody wants to. Remember, godly zeal is powerful. When you got zeal, man, it makes people nervous and the devil nervous. It makes you useful for the cause of Christ. See, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Which means if you don't study, is it possible you can wrongly divide the word of truth? But when you study the word of God, zeal comes up inside of you. The more you read God's word, the more you will thirst for knowledge and seek fellowship with God. I mean that. Now, what's the difference between knowing God and knowing about God? See, most people know about God, but do they know him? But when you know him, you become the Christian the devil is scared of. I'm telling you, he gets nervous because he knows you understand that power. And it's done through the zeal of God in your life. Today, I want to read a question from a lady named Sue. She said, Brother Jesse, my husband has fallen away from the Lord. When he first got saved, he was on fire. Can you tell me how can I get him back to God? All you got to do, Sue, is let your light so shine. He'll get so miserable because he once tasted of that wonderful fire. You see, and he may have got disappointed. You know, a lot of times the devil used disappointment, discouragement, and depression to do those things. But you know what? Hang on. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And here's a statement you should never forget. The promises of God are far more powerful than the sins of people. Remember that. He'll come back, and he'll come back with such gusto, it'll blow the people's socks off. And I mean that sincerely, because God's word is true. You have the promise of God's word down to 1,000 generations. That's what Kathy did. She just stayed on me like white on rice till I just got born again. Now, I have never went away from God. I've never backslid, because why would I want to? But don't worry about it. I don't know what happened. But I do know this, that God is watching and moving, and he'll be back. And you can take that to the bank. Kathy's coming right now with some great, glorious moments. Kathy, take it away. Bless God. Bless the people and bless me with these wonderful, wonderful testimonies that you people sent in. Take it away, Kathy, now.
Welcome to Glorious Moments. I have a testimony that I hope will inspire you today. Since I've been listening to you and following your ministry for a little over a decade, when I was younger, the younger version of yourself and I would have been best friends. Ha! Huh. I was addicted to money and pretty much everything else that came my way. The only addiction that stuck was alcoholism. I was at a really low point in my life when someone introduced your ministry to me. My mama used to say, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. I was dating a person who was probably the worst influence I could have asked for at that point. I had constant troubles and couldn't be further away from God. I was an unrepentant ingrate and had terrible opinion of poor people, no relationship with God, and a strong addiction to making money, women, alcohol, and so much more. However, the mother of that woman introduced me to your ministry, and only then did my life begin to change for the better. From drinking a bottle or more of Jack every 2 or 3 days, I left everything behind, found God, began witnessing to people, and instead of asking what God and the world could give me, I finally began to ask what I could give the world and God. Don't get me wrong, I still ask the good Lord for nice things, but I'm not selfish like in the past. It all started many years ago with a very country woman saying, have you ever heard of Jesse Duplantis? Thank you for all the work that you've done over the years. You're truly a blessing to us all. I hope that this testimony inspires you to share Jesus with someone today. I encourage you to be bold and discover the pure joy that comes from reaching people and changing lives one soul at a time. God bless you.
Are you ready to believe the unbelievable, receive the impossible, because it's doable? In my new book, Believe, you will be challenged to believe the uncompromised word of God so that you can receive all that God has for your life.
Yes, it's time to unlock your faith in God's promises and believe the truth of the gospel. For your donation of $5 or more, you can receive your physical copy or digital download of Believe at jdm.org.
It's time to make your faith work.
Yes.
Order your copy today and remember to believe. Did you know angels are real and many of them are here today? God's word is full of supernatural experiences by people just like you and me. Order your copy today at jdm.org. I'm May Prodick offers this book I wrote entitled The Hidden Help. Do you know that you may have entertained angels unaware? Bible says that. The Bible said to be mindful of strangers. there could be ministering angels. I encourage you to get this book. It will bless you. I'm telling you, I got some personal experiences with angels as well as a great teaching on it. How do you get it? Go to our website, jdm.org, for all the ordering information. It will bless you and minister life to you. You know, we have a magazine called Voice of the Covenant, and we've been ministering the gospel through this thing since, I believe, 1981. Our monthly magazine is so powerful. People love it. It's absolutely free. It will minister life to you. How do I get it? You can sign up to receive a copy in your mailbox. It's free. You can also find the online version in English and Spanish at jdm.org. Isn't that amazing? My God, you can just hear it in Spanish. Good God. Or read it in Spanish. What a blessing of the Lord it is. Partners, thank you for being so courteous and kind all these years. Your faithful financial partnership has so greatly appreciated by me and Kathy. You'll never be a day without prayer. We pray for you every day. The hundredfold anointing is on my life. The anointing of inquiry, it's on me, man. And I want it to come upon you. Partners, we got more projects that are happening. People say, you think you'll ever retire? I don't think so, because every time I go to think, well, you know, man, let somebody else do it. They're a lot younger, and the Lord said, do this, do that. Got a $20 million project right now. I mean, it's happening all the time, and it's just amazing. So I thank you for supporting this ministry. And in 48 years, like I said last week, we've never had a financial deficit. That's a miracle of Jesus Christ. You know why? We didn't believe for it. We trusted you. You trusted me. We both trust God. Don't miss next week, okay? We love you. We appreciate you. Jesse the Planner from New Orleans saying I love you. See you soon. Bye-bye. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse the Planner. Our May partner offer is a sermon I preached entitled, How to Be Certain Among Uncertainty. There's so many uncertain things going on. You need to get this today. And I mean that it will help you in your daily walk with God and in your physical walk in the world. How do I get it? You go to jdm.org to get your copy. It's worth your time. It will be a blessing to you. It will show you what to do. Get it.
Do you realize that God wants you to thrive, prosper, and achieve everything He's called you to do? Well, in my book, Suited for Success, I'm going to show you how to be fully equipped with all the essentials that you need to live a victorious and prosperous life. Your victory has already been settled. You can and will accomplish every dream God put in your heart. Suited for Success. Order your copy at jdm.org today.
How long do you want to live?
Well,
I'm talking about in this life.
In this life. Well, I want to go for the promise of 120.
Ah, the promise of 120. And yet, you very seldom ever find a person that's 120 years old.
You hear, it's rare.
And you know why? You ever wonder why? What, they say because they're sick? No, because we don't preach 120 years.